Jody Shelley joins us. Jody, how you doing?
I'm doing great, Jason. It's nice to be on with you. I'm a big fan of the show. I live in Columbus, Ohio, but I catch it on an app when I'm outside doing yard work. So
I love
appreciate
it.
You having me on.
Nice. Oh, hey, we're happy to have you on. Columbus last year, because, you know, people would look and say, wow, it's a disappointing year for Columbus. But when you break it down, all the injuries to such key players for them, is there any angst that they're like, okay, we've got to get back going. Maybe they're going to make some moves? Because the best rumor I heard was the Phil Kessel, Columbus, if they don't get Noah Hanifin, because I know they're trying to move up to get him, and if they can't, that they might turn their focus and say, let's get Phil Kessel, who's one of the best pure finishers in the game.
I would not put anything past Jarmo Kekäläinen and John Davidson. They are movers and shakers, and they want to do whatever they can to make this organization better every day they do it. So if that's a possibility, I think Yarmo's got, he's probably got 9 or 10 balls in the air just by watching him and work the room here, watching him at the hotel. He's been active and he's busy. So anything like that, I mean, all those combinations, they run through every single one. So that would be awesome for the Blue Jackets, obviously, to have Kessel. We just talked about that off the air. And when you think about it right away, it's kind of a knee-jerk, no way. But I think he'd fit in nicely. Columbus has a hard-working team, and you mentioned they need a finisher. I agree with that. We have a lot of forwards that play the same way, which is a good thing, but it's good to be complimented all the time with scoring.
Ryan Johansson took a step last season for Columbus, over 70 points. Foligno had an outstanding season for them. How is he going to maintain that? What did he do different last year? Do you think is this a guy now that they should look at to be a 65-point player?
I think so. He's a guy that took a step personally. Off ice, when you get 25, 26 years old, it's not the same as being 20, 21. Took a real big step off the ice. His conditioning, his training, his approach to the game on a daily basis has changed. And now that he's got the captaincy, there wasn't a captain for the last 3 years, he gets that. He's very proud of that. He's actually already been proactive this summer in reaching out to some teammates, making sure they're also working out. I heard he's been talking with Ryan Johansson, keep him motivated and moving in the right direction. You know, it's good for Nick. Every player holds themselves accountable. He now holds himself and his teammates, and I think that's so great for our organization.
When you look at Boone Jenner, is he more of a winger in that organization or a center?
I like him on the wing. He's very complimentary. He's very good in the defensive zone, but I think we have a luxury down the middle where we have very reliable centermen. Dubinsky and Anisimov are two. Wenberg has really stepped up in that position. And when you put Boone on the wing, he can bang and crash, which he loves to do. Loves to be first on the puck, and he's great with puck possession. So I like him on the wing because he's got that grit and attitude, and I think he likes to be on the wall.
Ryan Murray has had one of the worst strings of bad luck to start an NHL career. And really, it started right after he was drafted when he got injured in Everett. What's the concern about it? Are they worried that it's a chronic shoulder injury, or is it just bad luck injuries?
It's been bad luck. The last one, he just got back from it was a knee or something. Yeah, he got back from a knee injury, played a couple games, and then Ryan Johansson actually fell on his ankle, and he had a high ankle sprain. So I think it's been just a real rash of freak injuries. That shoulder, he had surgery, of course, in his draft year. Everybody knew that. He's healed up nicely on that. But it's been an unbelievable. I mean, it's really ridiculous, the stuff that's happening. He's changing his training approach now. He's going to try to change things up. I don't think it has anything to do with training. I think it had to do with luck.
Jody Shelley joined us, analyst for the Columbus Blue Jackets, who currently have the 8th overall pick. They also have 3 second-round picks. And just like the Oilers, the Blue Jackets have 10 picks. I don't expect the Oilers to use all 10 of theirs. I'm guessing you feel the same about the Blue Jackets.
Yeah, I don't know how you can leave here with 10 players. I don't think you can do that. They've got they've got good depth in the organization. They've got a lot of young prospects. I don't think you add 10 more to that here today. And it also creates that possibility of the trades, which we've all talked about all day. You know, every team out here now is trying to get up in that top 3, top 5 position, it seems. And Columbus has been very active, and that's been well documented that they're trying to get that 3rd spot.
They made the Horton for Clarkson move last year. Nathan Horton, of course, a career-ending injury, which is brutal. Clarkson, kind of a breath of fresh air for him mentally to get out of Toronto and how everything happened there. But he's got a big ticket. Where do you see him fitting in next year with Columbus?
Well, that's interesting because he comes in at $5.5 million, somewhere in that range. Really similar, almost to the dollar value of Horton. Horton was on the shelf, and we knew it for the next 6 years. You're paying that much money for nothing. So now you pick up a player in Clarkson. I think we see him at a $2-2.5 million player. Third, fourth line, maybe he can play some power play. That's where I think they've slotted him for now. And who knows? There's upside. But right now the expectations are not very high on Clarkson. Come in, put him in the lineup, get him in the locker room. And then if he can grow, everything's a bonus from here.
The overall health of the organization in Columbus financially, I know, you know, their owner's got deep pockets. They're a team that if they had to, they wouldn't be they're not afraid to go spend to the cap.
No, they got no problem spending to the cap. And the owner has said that. The GM and the president know that. So that's something that Yarmo and JD, they wouldn't have walked into a situation where they weren't able to do that.
Jody, you look at the top of the draft board and Connor McDavid, Jack Eichel. And I know people are discussing, man, what if Boston tries to get Jack Eichel out of Buffalo? Although Tim Murray actually mentioned Eichel today for kind of the first time because I think he knows who Edmonton's taking and who he's going to take. When you see those type of young players coming into the league and, you know, Canadian and McDavid playing a Canadian city, American and Jack Eichel playing in Buffalo, what do you think it means to the league and what are your expectations of those two young players?
I think it's amazing. As a player in this league, a former player, when I played, the game was much slower. It was much more manageable for a guy like me. I couldn't even dream. I couldn't think about keeping up with these guys right now. They're faster. They're bigger. They're stronger. Their skill level is ridiculous, what they can do at high speeds. It's amazing to have these guys come into this league. We know what Sidney Crosby meant to this league. You know, there's been players that have merged and become superstars. But when they're superstars at 15, 16, the hype, everything that's building coming in, and they talk about not only those two, they talk about the rest of the draft. I think it has a lot to do with those two guys because the hype that's coming into this draft, the amount people have paid attention, I think the whole league is going to reward from these situations.
One other player in Columbus, David Savard, who, you know, he played at the World Championships, and people were kind of, well, who's David Savard? Give me your thoughts on this guy and you know, where he fits in the pecking order on the Blue Jackets' blue line.
I'd put him at number two. I mean, he's a 1-2, I think, with Jack Johnson. He's a guy that's emerged as a young player, again, a kid that came from junior, had a successful junior career, big guy. Didn't really excel at what he was. Didn't take him long to figure out that he had to work harder off the ice after one season. Did that and then played heavy, heavy minutes. He's like the robot out there, that guy that goes out there and can just play against anybody in the league. Really, the coming out party for him was our second playoff appearance in Columbus against the Pittsburgh Penguins 2 years ago. And David Savard got paired up against Sidney Crosby and did a heck of a job. And that was really a moment for the Blue Jackets to say, okay, we've got a guy here that can do this and handle
just
the work.
Really kind of a good, pure shutdown defense.
He's a workhorse, and he's smart, and he's good with the puck, and he's never in trouble. So that's the guy. It's almost an afterthought when he's on the ice. He's very reliable. We know the coaching staff loves him.
They look at him as maybe kind of like Chicago's Nick Hjalmarsson?
Yeah, but he's bigger. He's got that size of a Weber, but he doesn't have that high-end. Like, he can't run the power play, so to speak. But he's got those heavy legs, hard to get around, always in the right position.
Quickly, your thoughts on the Blackhawks, third cup in six seasons. We know they're going to have to dismantle it a little bit due to the salary cap. Patrick Sharp's name's out there. Bickle's name, of course, is out there. Brent Seabrook. But as a guy who played in the league and knows how tough it is, what do you make of in today's game those guys being able to win 3-6?
It's so awesome. And I think it's so healthy for them now to move on some players. I think everyone in any situation in life, there's a certain point where you've got to move on, clean it up a little bit, especially when you have cornerstones, Taves, Kane. When you look at the defense, Keith, Seabrook. I mean, those four names, it doesn't matter who you put in there. They've got a culture now like Detroit used to have. And you could plug any player in that system, they're either going to fit in or they're going to be out of the way. They're in the way, and I think that's what they've got going. They're incredible. You look at Quenneville and what he brings. Everyone has got a character piece to them in that organization, and I think that's the model right now for this whole league.
Jody, always good to talk to you,
man. My pleasure, man.
Good seeing you again soon.
You.
Call any time when you're listening.
I'll try to. Stay out of the sundown.
Yeah, you betcha. Jody Schell.